Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Romans 11. You might recall in Romans 10, there's a statement in verse 5 that says, "For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness, which is based on the law, shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows." And really, that's the thing that was being wrestled with throughout the book of Romans, is that the Jews who were seeking to live righteously based on the law and obtain salvation in that way need to now come to realize that the way to be right before God is not through adherence to the works of the law, but rather to those who have faith in Jesus. God, in this new dispensation, has made a way for Jew or Gentile to come to faith in him and to have everlasting life, because Jesus Christ paid our sins as the blood of the Lamb. And by believing in him, as Abraham believed and was accredited righteousness, now when we believe, whether Jew or Gentile, when we believe in Jesus, we are seen as right before God because of his great forgiveness. At the end of chapter 10, it said, "But as for Israel," he says, "all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." And that was a quote from the Old Testament. But essentially, God is still holding out his hand. He's holding out his hand to both Jew and Gentile. And he's saying, "I want you to recognize me. Recognize that in my great love, while you were still sinners, I sent my son to die for you." And he's waiting. He's waiting on his return, waiting for more people to come to faith in him. So all of this begs a question, and Paul asks the question that it begs. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 11, "I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he?" So has God just rejected Israel? And Paul says, "May it never be," with an exclamation point. "For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham." And Paul was. He was an Israelite. He was a Pharisee, a religious law abider of the tribe of Benjamin. "God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel?" And this is something they did in the Old Testament. "Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life." And Elijah felt like he was the only one who was truly following Yahweh, but he was actually not exactly right about that, because it says in verse 4 of Romans 11 here, "But what is the divine response to him?" What did God respond to Elijah with when he said, "They've killed your prophets and I'm the only one left"? And the response was, in the Old Testament, "I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal." So Elijah felt alone, but he was not alone. There were people that were following God rightly. But in the same way, then, there has also come to be, at the present time, a remnant according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. And what's being said there is that there are people, Jew and Gentile, discovering about Jesus, and God has made a choice now. And he's saying, "Hey, you know what? The choice is that those today who come to faith in me are part of God's sovereign plan to receive salvation and forgiveness of sins. And I had a choice before, and it was through Israel, and it was through the law, and it was through circumcision, although really they were supposed to do law abiding and circumcision from faith, but yet that was still a requirement that they adhere or obey the guidance that God gave them. But now God has made a new way, and he has extended his grace, and he said, "You know what, I'm going to forgive any and all, whether Jew or Gentile, based on faith in me." And if it's on grace, then it's no longer on works. Now, as Americans, and you know, I realize there's people living in other countries of the country, but our world, but when we see no longer on the basis of works, we tend to insert good works there. And it's true that you can't get to heaven based on good works. That's not, you have to have faith in Jesus. But the whole context of Romans is that the Jews were trying to, you know, be right before God through works of the law. And it's no longer on that. It's on grace. And what is the grace that God has given us? The grace is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that was God's grace extended to us. And when we have faith in that, now we receive God's grace and forgiveness. And that's how we get right standing with God. But it's no longer based on adherence to the law, but it's on faith in Jesus that we may then receive the grace of God. Verse 7, what then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened, just as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not, and ears to hear not, down to this very day. Part of what's being mentioned here is, well, if it's on God's grace and God's choice, then did he harden everyone else? And in a sense, Paul is saying, yes, you know, there are people who are hardened, but it's really not up to us to tell God how to do his business. And that's what he's going to talk about here. And then in verse 9, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to not see and bend their backs forever. What's being quoted there are Old Testament passages that indicate that sometimes people are hardened, meaning that they can't seem to get it. They can't seem to understand. They stand in obstinance to the ways of God, and as a result, they're not willing to hear, they're not willing to be humble, and they're not willing to receive what God now has in this dispensation. And he's saying that happened in the Old Testament where people were hardened. Pharaoh in Egypt was hardened. But it also happens today where people just are unwilling to receive. And somehow they're not willing to open themselves up, and God is allowing them to stay hardened. Verse 11, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? Paul asks a question like, does that mean that they can never come to Christ? And he says, may it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. So what he's saying now is that in this season of history, you know, Israel was really prided up on itself in being the family of God. And now the gospel has come to any and all who have faith in Jesus. And that is going to make the Jews jealous, the fact that anyone can just come to the front of the line and be part of the family of God, and they don't have to become a Jew or be an Israelite to be part of the family of God. And then he says in verse 12, now if their transgression is riches for the world and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? And what Paul is saying is there's still hope. And really there's hope not only for Jew, but there's hope for anybody. Because if you come to Jesus in faith, you can be part of the family of God. Some people are hardened right now or unwilling to turn to Jesus, but God's still holding out his hand. But I'm speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle of the Gentiles. And remember, a Gentile is anyone who is not an Israelite. I magnify my ministry. If somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen, Jews, and save some of them. See, he's still trying to save them. He wants Jews to come to know the gospel. And God wants Jews to come now, anyone. And you know what? Many have. That Judaism is actually a very small religion because many have come to faith in Jesus. Now, we have to insert, in order to understand the rest of this text, we will insert, and I will make it easier to understand by inserting what Paul's referring to. Because he says, for if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? And what he's referring to is Jews. For if the Jews' rejection is reconciliation, meaning people were restored to God through what God did to reconcile man to himself through Jesus, then he says, what will their Jews' acceptance be but life from the dead? They still can come to Jesus. If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also, and if the root is holy, the branches are too. Now listen to this. Because the branches would have been Jews. They were part of God's nourishing vine. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive, meaning Jews were part of God's branch. We weren't even part of God's branch. We were outside of the family of God as Gentiles. But if the branches, Jews, were broken off from God's family because now they've rejected Jesus, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them. So we were grafted into the family of God and became a partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant towards the branches. So although we've come to the front of the line, and anyone can, who has faith in Jesus, and we've been grafted into God's tree, we're part of God's family, he's saying, don't be arrogant towards the Jews, the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. And now the foundation of our faith is built on Jesus Christ. We've been grafted into God's olive tree, and he is nourishing and supporting us. And it says in verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken off, Jews, that is, were broken off, so that I, a Gentile, might be grafted in. Paul's saying, quite right, that's true. They were broken off for their unbelief. See, so ultimately it came down to faith. And when God in this season brought Jesus, it was required that to be part of the family of God that we would believe in him. But if they reject Jesus, then they are broken off because of their unbelief in him. But you, a Gentile now who's come to Jesus, stand by your faith. And we got to stand in that faith. Faith is not just, I say I have faith one time. It's, we got to stand in it. We got to come to Jesus and stay in Jesus. Hallelujah. Do not be conceited, but fear. This is what Paul is saying to the Gentile. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. This is a very important verse. And I'll tell you what. Any friend, I was going to say Calvinist friend, but any friend, when you come to create a doctrine, when you come to state what you believe about the faith, it really needs to encompass the whole counsel of God's word. And without knowing the whole counsel of God's word, one does not know what the whole counsel then entails. And it's so important to know the whole word, read the whole word, study the whole word, and then allow that to shape your doctrine. And where it allows for mystery, embrace the mystery. A lot of people are tempted to want to try to solve all mystery or remove all mystery and just make it clear. And that's, I get why people want clarity. But the problem is we can do that at the expense of Scripture. We can say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make this one-sided and I'll make it as clear as I can for you. But in doing so, then, you're ignoring, or a person is ignoring, what the Scripture says. And we're supposed to revere the Word of God, not our summary statements. Because listen to this verse. This is really important, and take it in. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either, Gentile. They were cut off, Jews, by faith. And he said, he will not spare you either. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of God to those who fell. Severity, meaning to those who are unwilling to accept Jesus, severity. But to you, Gentiles, who have now come to faith in Jesus, God's kindness. We've received the kindness of God through the grace of God, through faith in what Jesus did. And then it says this, though. If you continue in his kindness, see, this is why faith is not a one-time thing. It's a I believe in you, and I'm going to continue to believe in you to the end. I'm going to back up. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of God to those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And that's a heavy word, and it goes against a lot of people's doctrinal statements. Because it would seem to indicate, and there's a lot of other passages that would indicate this too, is that you could lose your faith in Jesus. That's what it's saying here. It's saying you need to continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. Remain in me and I will remain in you. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not bear fruit, he is like a branch that is broken off and withers and thrown into the fire and burned. That's just one scripture that's coming to mind. And there are many. Remain faithful to the end. Continue in your faith to the end. There's a multitude of verses that say something very similar to this. And what you need to do is just embrace all of it, all of God's word. And this is giving us a word that we've received God's kindness. Hallelujah. But continue in his kindness, otherwise you will be cut off. So what? You know what? Make faith a permanent thing and fan that faith in the flame and continue to invest in your faith all the way to your dying day. And you know, I want to be a man of God all the way to the day that I die. And I want my faith to be strong. I don't care what I go through. If I go through pain, suffering, ultimately death, I want to make sure that my faith is strong all the way to the end. I want to be a man of God and a man of faith all the way to the end. And God wants that of you too. And then he says in verse 23, and they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. So there's still hope for Jews. So even though Jews were part of the family of God, now if they've rejected Jesus in this season, they've been cut off from the family of God. But if they do not continue in unbelief, if they come to Jesus, they can be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again through faith in his Son. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, meaning we were not part of the family of God, but when we came to faith in Jesus, we were grafted in, how much more will these Jews who are the natural branches, they were originally part of the family of God, be grafted into their own olive tree, just like we got grafted into God's family. A Jew who's reject Jesus for now, who later comes to Jesus, they can be grafted in, and Paul's saying even easier because they were part of the original tree. For I do not want you to be, I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And isn't that interesting? And you know, depending upon what you believe about eschatology, study of end times, perhaps the fullness of the Gentiles, when the fullness of Gentiles comes in, that's perhaps when the rapture is going to take place. And after that fullness, there's still going to be an opportunity for Israel during the tribulation to come to him. That's how I interpret that verse. Let me read it again. Don't be wise in your own estimation that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the Father. So God still has a heart for the Jews. He still loves them. They were a part of the original family of God. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you, Gentiles, were once disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy, hallelujah, because of their, Jews, disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient. Jews are being disobedient when they don't accept Jesus. That because of the mercy shown to you, Gentiles, they also may be shown mercy. Hallelujah. And this is one of the great verses of the Bible here, is verse 32. For God has shut up all in disobedience so that he may show mercy to all. Hallelujah. I went over this verse. You might recall if you went with us through the journey in the book of Romans, when we were back in Romans 1, 2, and 3, Paul was making the case, all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, not even one. And one of the things that Paul was trying to show us is that we have a need. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, we have a need. We have sin. Our sin separates us from God, and we need a solution to that sin problem. The solution today is Jesus. We need to know we're sinners and that sin separates us from God. We need to know we have a need, because that need then compels us to turn to God's solution, and that's faith in his Son. And he desperately wants the whole world to know that our sin separates us from God. And as a result, we've all been shut up in disobedience. And the word there is like to be caught up in a net, as though if you threw a net in the ocean to collect fish, it would just collect all kinds of fish. As it were, you could say it would collect Jewish fish and Gentile fish. They'd all be caught up in the net, and we'd be going to become someone's dinner up in that net, meaning we're all caught up in this sin problem. It doesn't matter what kind of fish you are, what kind of person you were before. We all are caught up into this sin problem. But he did that, and he wants us to understand that so that he can show mercy to us all through his Son, and that we may all receive salvation. And then Paul, just celebrating this wisdom that God has, says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." It's like Paul is celebrating the wisdom of God to shut us all up into disobedience, catch us all up into that, so that he could send his Son to have mercy on us all. "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again?" And then I love this verse. "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Ah, what a closing word. And you know, I hope we all, you all listening, we get to the point in life where we realize that everything comes from him. Everything's through him. And to him are all things. He is our reason for being. He's the reason we have air. He's the reason we should live our lives now. And he's the reason that one day we'll be in heaven with him. To him be the glory forever. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Be grateful this day that God has welcomed you into his family through faith. And you know what? Praise God that everyone now today has an opportunity, whether Jew or Gentile, to receive the grace of God through Jesus Christ. May more hear the good news. God bless you all.